We will call to order the meeting for the IOC District East. It is November 13, 2024, 5:02 p.m. Morgan, can you read the conflict of interest for us?
Absolutely. Do we have anyone that has to disclose a conflict of interest? If there is, the committee member needs to disclose why.
Okay, we will do welcome and introductions. I am Susie Hessman, chairperson. Sarah?
I'm Sarah McGovern, vice chairperson, IOC East.
Ken?
Good evening, everyone. This is Kim Kells, committee member, IOC District East.
Teresa?
I'm Teresa Brooks, committee member of District East.
Selena.
Good evening, everyone. I am Selena Kataria, committee member, District East also.
Elizabeth. Beth, you're muted still. Beth? Okay. Beth, when you can figure out how to unmute yourself, go ahead.
It's either star six or star seven. I don't remember which one.
Well, it looks
like
she's...
Can you
hear me now? Oh, yeah. Can hear you now. Thank you.
All right. I just have two buttons and I kept hitting both of them. So this is Elizabeth Bird. I'm committee member.
Thank you. Morgan, will you handle the rest of the introductions?
Absolutely. Wendy, can you start us off?
You bet. I'm Wendy Herring with Mercy Care, Office of Individual and Family Affairs.
Thank you. Christina?
I always forget if it's good morning or good evening. Sorry, it's been one of those days. Good evening. I'm Christina. I am the administrator for the division's Office of Individual and Family Affairs.
Thank you. Katrine?
Hi, good evening. I was almost saying good morning. Thanks, Christina.
All right, Katrine.
I'm Katrine Filet, PRC administrator with DDD. Glad to see you all.
Thank you. Bernice?
Hi, good afternoon. Berenice Curro, PRC District East Chair.
Thank you. Trudy?
Hi, all. I'm Trudy O'Connor, DDD Quality Assurance for District East.
Thank you. Michelle?
Hi, I'm Michelle Rademacher. I am with the DDD Cares Administration. I'm an IOC liaison, and I go by the pronouns she, her.
Thank you. And I'm Morgan O'Hara. I'm the other DDD IOC liaison with the Cares Administration. And then we also have a potential new member joining us on the call this evening. Danielle, would you like to introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Danielle LeMade. I'm a new volunteer.
Welcome. Thank you.
And that's all the introductions.
Great. All right. Our next agenda item is DDD staff updates. Morgan, do you want to facilitate that?
Sure. Katrine, do you have any updates for us this evening?
I don't have staff updates other than District East PRC team is doing very well. But we have a question, so I don't know if this is the right time of, or shall we wait?
Yep. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Bernice and I were wondering if there is an update on any support with the review of behavior plans by IOC. I think Kim Counts is helping us but she needs help.
Okay, that's something we'll discuss.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yes.
Bernice, did you have anything else for an update?
Yes, as a matter of fact, Keith's last day of supporting was October the 1st, so he's no longer supporting us as IOC. But right before that, PRC gathered to collect information and submit a nomination for him to participate on the 21st Annual Governor's Volunteer Service Awards. And just like 2 minutes ago, I received an email saying that the Director of Americans Corps and Volunteerism is honored to inform Keith that he has been selected to receive the Lifetime of Service Award. So we are super happy for him. I had to give him a call, so I was calling, and that's why I was not on the camera. But we're very, very happy to hear that.
That's wonderful.
A really great news that I wanted to share with everybody.
What is the award called again? The Lifetime of Service?
It's the 21st Annual Governor's Volunteer Service Award.
Wow.
Yes, it's quite an accomplishment. So we're very, very happy for him and very, very proud of him as well. You know, he puts all his heart and all his efforts into all he does. He was supporting District D's for a little bit over a year. And right now he's working on another project. So he did tell us that once he's done with the project, he may come back to District D's. But in the meantime, you know, we won't be able to count on him for our PRC reviews. But yeah, anyway, thank you so much for letting me share this news. We're very, very proud of him and very happy to share this news.
That's wonderful. Thank you for sharing that.
Of course.
Trudy, did you have any updates for us this evening?
Just a couple of updates. We had interviews and selected two new fact finders, and each of them has a great experience. They have background with DES and APS, which is going to be very nice for the team. So their first day actually was Tuesday. So we're working very hard to get them up to speed. We had a lot of people trying to fit in their last summer breaks while they could before fall started. So the month of October was super busy. We had also 827 entries in the month of October. And we've got a whole bunch of questions in process that will be coming shortly.
Thank you.
Thank you. And then Christina, do you have any updates for us?
Yeah, I have a few. I believe if it was not last month's IOC, it might've been the month before, we had talked about the strategic planning that the division is doing. The division is working to develop a 5-year strategic plan that we are hoping to publish by July of 2025. It's been nearly a decade since the division has published a long-term strategic plan. And the leadership team really believes that the time is right to kind of revisit the division's vision and goals for the individuals that we support. I had mentioned when I spoke about this a few months ago that we are going to be looking for input from the IOCs. So I believe Michelle and Morgan will be touching base with Thelia Morris, who is the Project Management Office Administrator, who will come to an IOC meeting in early 2025 to present the plan for the strategic plan, and at that point in time, start gathering input from all of you. So that's kind of the one thing that we have starting early 2025. Then I know I had talked about our self-care conferences prior to them happening. Well, they have now happened, and we have had some major successes with our self-care conferences. The Tucson conference was held in early October, and we had over 200 attendees.
And the Phoenix Conference was held in the middle of October, and we had over 230 attendees. Of those over 400 attendees, 99% of the conference surveys indicated a rating of a 4 or 5 out of 5. So not only did we have a lot of people show up, but people saw really great benefit from the conference as well.
That's great. And,
yeah, I wasn't gonna do this, but let me pull up some really cool quotes that we had on the survey. I'll share a few of those really quick. So somebody said that this conference last year really got me started on self-care. I'm proud of my progress, but I still have a ways to go. Somebody said, this was my first conference for caregivers, and I had such a good time talking with others who understood where I was coming from and talking with agencies for resources. So it was really a great place for people to be able to connect with others who, as we know, caregiving can feel really lonely sometimes. And so being able to connect with others who kind of have that same shared lived experience was really great. And then the final thing I have to share on, I know I've talked about the positive behavior support project that we've been working on for a while now. Just some of the updated numbers. We have trained, I haven't even updated this since last week, but as of last week, we had trained over 10,900 direct support professionals from 125 qualified vendors. We have 622 trainers from vendor agencies across the state who are trained to teach other professionals the PBS principles. And we've had over 100 individuals trained by Raising Special Kids. And those are all family members or caregivers who were able to get that training at no cost. And finally, PBS training is continuing to occur bi-weekly as part of the regular DDD state-operated curriculum for new and current employees who work within our state-operated facilities. I think that's all I've got. Does anybody have any questions?
Those are great numbers to hear.
Thank you. Yeah, we're really excited about all of them. Thank you all.
Thank you.
And I believe that was all of our staff updates.
Okay. And I saw we had Tanya join us and Angela. Do you guys want to both introduce yourselves?
Hi, good evening. This is Angie Venny, and I am the customer service administrator with DDD. And I just decided to hop on the call and listen in. So I'm really glad to be here.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Tanya Schultz, the facility representative for ATPC.
Thanks, Tanya. All right, next is Arizona Department of Administration, but Larry is not here. So we will move on to health plans and access. Wendy, do you have any updates for us?
Sure. A couple things I wanted to share. And I will put them in the chat as well. The Office of Individual and Family Affairs here at OIFA, See, now, Christina, I'm getting all jumbled up. It's, you know, you're kind of riding your wave. We have a lunch and learn. That was super easy. I'm coming up here December 9th. The title is Empowering Change, the Role of Peer Services for Justice-Involved Individuals. So it's a one-hour webinar, along with Hope Lives and Hope Inc. Just explain the importance of peer support services. So I'll put that link in the chat. There's registration involved. And the other thing I wanted to mention is Mercy Care now has a link to 211 on our website, which is the resource website. So I will put both of those links in the chat. Does anybody have any questions for Mercy Care this evening? All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Wendy. And we don't have any of the other plans or access on, correct? I didn't see. Okay. All right, Morgan, back to you. Any updates that you have?
Yeah, I have some data for the month of October. The committee members will have had 801 incident reports into the shared drive. This includes 73 open and 728 closed and 29 from ATPC. You may have also noticed that we have started sending multiple emails a week informing you of incident report uploads to the drive. This practice will continue and is necessary for us to meet compliance of sending the reports within 3 days of completion of an investigation process. The next DDD statewide chairs meeting has also been scheduled for January 22nd at 5:30. So any member who would like to attend is welcome. If you are not a chair or vice chair, we just need to make sure you get the link. And then the next DDD public town hall meeting for members, families, and providers will be held Thursday, January 2nd from 6 to 8 p.m. And I believe, is there any questions for me? And that is my update.
Thank you. Okay. Now we are to discussion, review, and possible action on committee membership. Danielle, would you like to share more information about yourself and what you would add to our committee?
Oops. Are you talking to me?
Yes.
Well, let's see. I was a teacher, a special ed teacher, master's in special ed, and I taught in the Scottsdale School District for many years. I am the parent of two children with special needs, and presently I own a group home. I had a few group homes, and right now I have one group home. And my children are in there as well as other members. And I have written BTPs and incident reports, so I'm very well versed on those and feel I could add to the committee. Again, this is my first meeting, so I'm not exactly sure what would be required of me, but I feel like I have a lot of expertise in the field of special needs, having been a parent, a teacher, and now an owner of a company. So I've juggled all the balls, ladies. So just tell me what you need and perhaps I can help. And I saw that you need volunteers. So here I am. Use me as you need me.
I'm wonderful. There. Wonderful.
And I do know Bernice from BTPs. So and well, thank you, Bernice. Both of my BTPs have gotten through. So, yes, I'm very well versed on BTPs. And I've had relatively few incident reports, so yay. But I do know how to write them. And for me, the respect and the dignity that this population deserve is my number one priority. So, just getting them out in the community and making sure their home settings and the community settings, making sure they're safe is all that I ask.
That's it. Thank you. Well, it sounds like you're very well qualified. What we do on a regular basis is review incident reports. So we have a Google Drive that DDD uploads them to. And then Sarah, who's our vice chair, is in charge of assigning categories. So we each have our own categories. And then we review and make notes in that Google Drive if we have any questions on those incident reports.
Okay.
So that's what we're doing on a regular basis. And then also we have BTPs and attending PRC, and that's where we're falling short right now.
Okay.
We did have a volunteer from another district that was helping us out, Keith, who Bernice referred to earlier, that he received that award. So he was helping us because he had the time to be able to do that, where the majority of us are still working full time and can't attend those PRC meetings, even though you still are doing those virtually, right, Bernice?
Yes, we are. However, for example, Kin has been supporting us because sometimes Keith, because we don't have that many volunteers, instead of doing the role of an IOC, he will jump in as a PRC. So those plans from the last year that we couldn't get done from him, we will send them over to Kin. And then Kin has been supporting us with those. But Danelle, I mean, you have the experience of writing behavior plans. And, you know, if there's any way that we can add her to the IOC folder, PRC continues to upload in there all the redacted plans. So maybe we can meet later on and see if you can help us, if not with all of them, because I do know that that's a very huge commitment, right? Maybe we can go ahead and work on the ones that we really need the IOC input as like urgent in order for us to be able to approve the plans. So I'm not sure if that's something that will work, but if that's the case, then all we will need is for us to have Danelle added to the IOC folder for redacted plans. In the past too, we also are sending plans, whether they're printed out or via email, to IOC volunteers. So it will be just a matter of defining the logistics. But if that's the case, oh my gosh, you would do so much good to IOC.
Would I be better served working with PRC instead of IOC? Is that what you're saying?
No. So IOC has a member that comes over and helps us reviewing from the IOC perspective.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So you will be working with PRC District D's, but reviewing the plans for any rights violations.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can do that. Sure.
And then thank you, Bernice, for explaining that. And then the other thing that we do is annually we prepare a annual report that then is disseminated to the governor and the legislature, specific individuals in the legislature, like Health and Services Committee, for their review, as well as the Deputy Director of DDD, with our recommendations, whether it's, you know, things that we've encountered in reviewing IRs or in BTPs or policy changes, any kind of interaction with the community where we're seeing needs for improvement, that goes into our annual report, which I'm working on. I should have turned in, I think it was due November 1st, so I don't have it done yet. And so that's basically how we work.
Okay.
Oh, thank you, Tanya. So she said that she'd be happy to help with some of those urgent plans too.
Okay. Yes. Bernice and I work well together and we're familiar with each other. So yeah. Whatever I can do to help with the process, that'd be great.
Wonderful. So the first thing we have to do though is vote to accept you onto the committee.
Oh, okay.
So is there any questions from any of the committee members? Any discussion that you want to have? Morgan, are we supposed to then go into executive session to do that or no? No, that's...
You need more time to discuss as a committee, but you have to vote in the public meeting.
Okay. Okay. Got it. So no questions from any committee members? All right. Then I need someone to make a motion and someone to second it to... bring Danielle on board.
I move to bring Danielle on board with IOC East as a member.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thank you, Sarah.
And I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Teresa. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, any dissent, any nays? Okay. Well, welcome aboard. Thank you very much. We are excited to have you on board, and especially with your ability to help Bernice with meeting those BTP reviews. That will be a big relief for us. So thank you. Morgan or Michelle will get with you to give you access to the drives and copy you on the email so that you have contact with all of us if you need to reach out for any help. And then Sarah can assign you. Well, maybe we don't want to assign her any IRs if she's doing the BTPs. So yeah, we'll.
Okay. So my focus will be BTPs. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. That's the most help where we need it.
Okay.
And especially if you've got experience with it, that's wonderful.
Yes, I do.
Okay. All right. Then our next agenda item, discussion review of incident reports and behavior plans. Is there anyone who has issues, questions, discussion regarding IRs and BTPs? Hi, Ken.
Hi. Yes, I have a question for Trudy. Hey, Trudy. So when I know the IRs, the plan, redactment and everything. So whoever that redacted the IRs, do they read through again? Because sometimes a lot of information is like blank, 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 blank. And then it's like, it's very difficult to understand sometimes. So I just wonder whoever that redacted those reports, did they actually read through and can they understand? If they cannot understand, we cannot understand.
Go ahead, Michelle.
So Ken, our team, with Morgan and I, we have redactors that do the redaction work. So it's not done at the quality level, it's done within our unit, our IOC unit. We actually have 4 redactors that work full time to redact the incident reports. And we are redacting in accordance to access and federal requirements following DDD's policy and procedures for redaction. Unfortunately, if the member's name or the member's guardian's name is in the incident report, we have to remove that. However, if there's something that an individual report that you're having problems with reading, I think we've had this discussion in the past, but I don't mind saying that, you know, if it's something that's concerning, we can get individual permission when we reach out to provide that report unredacted if need be.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you. Yeah, sometimes it's really difficult, you know, when there's so many blanks. If it's member's name, it's easy. So we kind of understand, you know, who we are talking about. But if there's too many blanks and there's too many people involved, it's really difficult. And then once they start writing, it's like every, you know, they know who they are talking about, but we don't.
You know? Yeah. Unfortunately, a member, a peer that's also a DDD member, a family member, anyone like that that's involved, we do remove their name. We're not removing any other information. The staff names will still stay in there, and the details of the information for the description is in there. I don't know what to do about getting reports that don't have member names in them. The reports used to be HIPAA compliant. However, it looks like things have changed and evolved, and they're no longer HIPAA compliant with member names and descriptions and all over the report themselves.
Okay. Thank you, Michelle.
I'm sorry.
No, don't be. We'll figure it out somehow.
If I could just add, I know that sometimes, like,
The way that the reports are received is exactly as we are, you know, popping into our system. So they're specifically the way they were written by our vendors or whoever our source was. And sometimes removing names or blocking those out make it difficult to understand the context. But sometimes it's harder when you're in the middle of it to, you know what those names should have said, like staff or individual or something along those lines. Sometimes we think, oh yeah, it's still understood. It'll be fine. And you know, it's because we had it to begin with. So, you know, it's understandable that some of those things are going to come up.
Thank you.
Teresa, go ahead.
Thank you. So I'm just curious, we've talked about this before, but I don't recall the exact conversation, but how exactly is the what method are they using to block it out? Is it manual or is it on the computer?
So it's well, it's both. We pull the report down into an Adobe document, and there's a redaction tool that Adobe has. And so they will manually select the names to be removed from the Adobe document and then save that. And then we have a process where Morgan and I come in and we audit them to ensure that there wasn't anything missed and members' personally identifiable information.
Okay, so I'm just wondering, go ahead.
We do use white for the redaction instead of black, thinking that it is easier to read the document with rather than having those big black bold lines in there as a distraction.
I agree with that. Is there any way, I mean, is white or black your only option? Is there any way to replace it with words or even, you know, S for staff one, an S2 for staff two, and member, maybe either member? There's no way to do that?
No.
That's too bad. Okay.
Yeah. So if there are concerning incidents that you really want to see unredacted, send us an email with the number and we'll reach out to the privacy team and make sure. But from what I understand from the past, we were able to provide those unredacted on a report by report basis.
Okay. And then just another question, in training vendors to fill out these incident reports, are they being encouraged to not use names? And is there a way to not use names and use member or staff one or two? Is that encouraged in their training?
You know, it's that's not something that's encouraged at this point, because all of our vendors were using different replacement terminology. It was actually more confusing to triage. So, you know, that's something that might be taken under consideration, though, you know, for future. You know, you could put a suggestion in just to say, hey, you know, this is what we would like to see. Maybe that's something to have discussion with the other IOCs about, you know, if that's something that you want to bring forward.
Okay.
Yes, and even using a standard language that it would say, member, staff, you know, things like that, so that everybody's using that same language. Ken?
Yes, I just wonder if we have a standard template that they use and that is being categorized, like, okay, because sometimes when people write, I mean, I'm not saying they have to be a PhD in language. It's sometimes it's the way they write, the punctuation, everything makes a difference. The punctuation mark, what is it referred to? How is it being, you know, written? It makes a difference to the person who read it and understand, because it can be easily misunderstood the way it was, if it's not written, you know, correctly. I mean, not say correctly, but, you know, in a correct way, let's say. So if they have like maybe very specific, you know, things like, okay, behavior or whatever, you know, you guys to think of, it'll be easier for them, because if to write a whole paragraph, some summary is a lot. I mean, they give a lot of information and that's good. But then when it comes to that, then there's a lot of, because like I said, a punctuation mark, a commas and things are a period, makes a difference to the context of the understanding of the reader, the one who read it. Because is it referring to this one, the comma, or N, things like that. So yeah, I just thought, you know, that'd be, you know, if it's doable so that we can, the person who read it can actually understand. Yeah.
I totally understand what you're saying. We're reviewing those every day too. You know, the individual staff have different levels of, you know, abilities or experience in how to write things and how things might get mixed up, you know, because of the way that they're writing. You know, we do ask that vendors at least look at them before submitting to say, okay, it's understandable. But we have to also consider like staff turnover and those kinds of things. It's asking a lot that, you know, staff improve all their writing skills to, you know, suit our specific needs. It just takes some time to learn all of that, some experience, and, you know, it may not be every staff person's strong suit, but at least their reporting is the way that we're looking at it. We're getting at least the initial information. And sometimes we do have to follow up with vendors to ask for clarification. Absolutely. And we do our best to make sure that when we're asking that clarification, that we're making summary notes to explain what we found through that follow-up work. But, you know, it's not perfect. So I'm right there with you, Ken.
Thank you.
And Angela just put notes in the text that she said she'd like to add that asking providers to complete an IR by not using the name may taint the view of the person being served as a person, which is an understandable perspective. Yeah, it's a catch 22, you know, because we're trying with all those redaction rules to understand, because we want to protect the member to the greatest of the ability to understand what's happening in the incident report. So
we're happy to work with you guys to make sure that you can understand it. Yeah, we get it.
Thank you. All right, anything else before we make a motion to adjourn?
Yes, I'm curious if anybody got into the folder the District East Project member specific incident reports from 2023 to 2024.
Yes.
No. Sarah, you did?
Yeah, I took a look at it, and I'm assuming, at first I was kind of wondering, well, what am I looking for? But then I noticed that it was literally almost the same vendor. The tracking on the reports was the same vendor over and over and over and over with the same issue happening. And then, of course, I opened up the IRs, the most recent ones from like November 5th and 6th or 6th and 7th, whatever the most recent one was. And there it was right there, that vendor again, same group with an incident report on neglect. So I was like, okay, now I know what I'm supposed to be looking for here.
So it's the same, it's the one member. And so it's the yep. two, it's group home and it's the nursing yep. vendor that are just at odds with each other.
Yep.
And my concern was then the members getting caught in the middle, and then they took action with the mom, who that's my concern, is how did they do this against the mom when she didn't even live at the house. I mean, that was my concern because the member's in a group home. So I've poured through almost I've poured through almost all of them, and it just is not adding up to me.
Yeah, Teresa, is this the one that we were talking? You were speaking about. You brought up at the last meeting.
Yes, it's a mess.
Yeah, I wasn't in the last meeting, so that's why I was kind of curious. And then when I went through, I started seeing what you were.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Trudy?
I was just going to suggest that you guys might want to have executive session and have discussion about that particular, just to bring everyone up to speed and do any review you might want to do, and then let us know how we can help when you're finished.
Okay. Susie, do you want to do that?
Well, I was just wondering if maybe we should do it at the next meeting to give everybody time to go in and read, and then we'll all be seeing that information unless there's something specific to introduce us all to it before we start reading.
And I was going to let you guys know, this is some information I just updated Michelle and Morgan this afternoon, that if you guys are going to have questions about that case, then I'd encourage you to request that Dr. Loki or Carl attend the next meeting if you want to have a discussion at that point, so that you'll have the right people to discuss it with. Okay.
Who was that again?
Dr. Loki, our quality medical director.
Oh, okay.
And Carl is our chief quality officer. Spirit, yes. Jesus' name. Mm-hmm.
From what I've read, that would be totally appropriate and much needed.
So, Teresa, would you like to have discussion then in executive session at the next meeting with them here to be able to answer those questions?
Yeah.
Okay. And then Michelle and Morgan, can you facilitate that? Thank you.
And then just for you reviewing those incident reports, there's a lot of them that are duplicates, if you will.
Okay.
So one is, they'll file one for each agency.
Yeah. So they'd be like a copy paste, basically, because one vendor would report an incident, but it was a different vendor that actually was responsible for some pieces of whatever was going on. So if you know that going in, it might be helpful.
Yeah.
Okay,
sounds good. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, if that's it, then if someone can make a motion to adjourn.
I move that we adjourn this month's meeting, IOC East.
And I can't remember, are we supposed to vote on that? Morgan?
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so then I need a second.
I can second that. I second you end the meeting.
Thank you. All in favor? Aye.
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 Okay, wonderful. And we will have our next meeting then on December 11th at 5:00 on the same Google Meets. Thank you, everyone, so much. We'll see you next month.
Thanks. Good to see you guys.
Good night.
Everyone, thank you all.
Good night.
Bye.
Thank you all. Bye-bye.